How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is great to be with you guys today. We are going to be talking 49ers grades in the huge win against the Bears, and I'm excited to get through a lot of that. But before we do, I do have to talk about something, you know, very stupid that happened, and so I got to put that out there, and I just want to address it with you guys. I didn't feel like Twitter and tweets and whatever were the place. I was being critical of Tre'Davious Ward yesterday at the game, and something came across that didn't come off the way that it was supposed to, and it's all me, 100% on me. I was talking about after Tre'Davious Ward gave up the touchdown, and I said, you know, the way that I said it was, you need to move on from this player. Like, that's what I was trying to get across. I went back and read the tweet. That's not what it is. Sounded like I was saying he needs to move on from grieving his daughter, which is 1,000% never, if you guys know me. That's not what we're about here at all. It was criticizing his play, you know, and that's what it was trying to be, but obviously didn't come across that way. People took it and ran with it. So I apologize to everybody out there. And I understand, like, you know, words are never enough for that. But let me just say, like, man, you know, I've experienced a lot of death in my family. My wife and I, miscarriages, like, we're still not over those, and those are 15 plus years ago. Everybody grieves in their own way, and I would never suggest anybody needs to move on from any of that type of situation. I just do not believe in that. But I also know words aren't enough. So we've donated to Tre'Davious Ward's his charity in the past, Changes with Tre'Davious. We did that a long time ago, but whatever proceeds come by today's show, we will be donating that as well. And if you want to help with that in any way, just want to show support, that link is in the chat. It's in the description of this video or podcast. And, you know, the whole reason why we started this show was to support community, positivity, educate through football. And I've had such a cool opportunity to meet so many people. And I really think create a positive reaction to being a football fan. And that's what I am. I'm a football fan. And I hate that I took away from that. And just by, you know, not tweeting correctly. And, you know, I do like 50 plus tweets a game whenever I'm at the live game. And that's not an excuse. I totally understand. I totally screwed up. But that's what it is. And so obviously people take it and go bad. I appreciate all the death threats. You guys are awesome. But anyway, I love you guys. Tre'Davious Ward's one of my favorite humans in the NFL. I've said this since we've signed him. And I hate that if any of my actions brought negativity or ill will to somebody else, breaks my heart, man. And so we're going to try to be better. And And I'm just sorry. I'm just really, really sorry. That's all that it is. So with having said that, if y'all want to reach out to me, please feel free. I want that dialogue, I think, should happen. It can't happen. I don't think Twitter's usually the place to do those things. But anyway, let's talk about the tape because I think that's what's important today. And let's focus on positivity. And, man, again, I cannot say this enough. So sorry to Charvarius Ward and to his family. And again, we'll donate all the proceeds today to his charity. And yeah, we're going to be better moving forward. I don't know what else to say besides that. But love you guys. I appreciate all those that have been supportive and, you know, whatever. And not that I'm a victim. I'm not a victim. It's what it is. So the 49ers dominate finally, which is huge. I don't think that we have had a half. And Shanahan even mentioned this, where he said, you know, I don't think any team in the NFL has had the type of half that, you know, we did. You had over 300 yards, only gave up, you know, single digit yards and all that stuff. I think that was just huge. And went through the tape this morning, and good Lord, they came out and just did really whatever they wanted. I love the checkdowns that came on third down. Yeah, that it kind of seemed like that very first drive. Okay, you're at third and three, and you've got Kittle on a crosser, deep crosser, and then you check it down to Isaac Garendo, and it was just like, man, as soon as that play happened on third down, it was just, even in the stadium, it was just this loud, like everybody just felt better about what was happening, and it seemed like the players did too, and so they just started clicking from that point on, and so you have to give Brock Purdy all of the flowers in the world because the efficiency was there. He goes 20 of 25, by far his most efficient game, I think, this year. Had a 145 rating. That's the rating that Josh Allen had against us. So to put that into perspective, that's how good Brock Purdy was. And that doesn't even count, you know, his rushing touchdown that got took off the board with the holding call. Like, just unbelievable. And so I think that was huge. And you know, I want to say this. You look at just Brock Purdy and, yeah, struggled in the rain. This year has not been his year. The fumbles, you know, holding the ball forever. But, man, that ball was – he was dealing. He was dealing all game. Even whenever there was an unblocked defender, they brought six, unblocked guy. Man, he just lays that ball up for Isaac Garendo again. Now, here's Kyle Shanahan talking about just Brock and being frustrated and all those different things since the Seahawks and kind of – how Brock Purdy's come through this. And
Brock's as competitive as anyone I've been around. So, you know, he was real disappointed about the Seattle game and how they got away from us at the end. And then for him to come in Monday and feel the way he did was kind of a shock to him and to all of us. And it didn't respond very well that week. And so he wasn't able to come back versus Green Bay and get that taste out of his mouth. And when he did versus Green Bay, I mean, versus Buffalo, that wasn't a very fun game for obvious reasons. So he's been battling. He's been awesome in practice. He's been great in the meetings. And I was real happy for him today because it seemed like he played his ass off and he was decisive in everything he did. And he's always a competitor.
I think that's the thing, the decisiveness. Shout out to my man, Josh. He's like, yeah, we threw screens. We threw checkdowns, went to the open wide receiver a lot of times. And I mean, he was dealing with confidence. And but it comes from, like, you look at the type of passes that we were calling. Like, this was the most Shanahan game. Man, there was one play where we have five eligibles, right? Most plays, but five guys are out on routes. All five are wide open. Brock Purdy throws it to Kittle, who was the most covered. It still got like a 25-yard whatever. The 49ers play against this same scheme, this cover three. And now usually whenever we do our film breakdowns of opposing teams and I'm starting to scout teams, I'm always like, man, yeah, that's how they play against everybody else. But teams adjust and they don't play the same way against us. We see five, six-man fronts. Bears didn't do that. They didn't do that. And so they stayed in their base cover three. And so because of that, man, you had four screens. All those were positive. You had 12 play-action passes. That is huge. I'm the biggest play. Even if the run game isn't working, which it was, 41% of your dropbacks were play-action. So the threat of the run or running and screens were everywhere. That's huge. So you had, you know, 12 dropbacks were play-action, four were screens. That's 16 of your 25 pass attempts were gadgets or scheming open. You're helping. We only went empty one time in the first half, and I was upset, but then we threw a screen, and it worked. So, like, figuring those things out, you know, you guys know me. I hate empty sets more than anything because you don't have the illusion or the threat of running. And so I think that's huge. Slick, he says, I want to see Brock and 49ers play that aggressive, dominating versus the Rams. It means, yeah, if they don't, it means nothing. You lose versus the Rams over. I think the 49ers could lose one game and maybe get in if that's against the Dolphins. But, you know, the four games we got, Rams, Dolphins, Lions, Cardinals. Like, I don't even think the Lions, I know everybody's like, well, you're going to lose that game. I would rather lose the Dolphins game. And to be honest, I know the Lions are really good. In the NFL, anybody can beat anybody. But if the 49ers come out and play the way that they played yesterday, this team could beat anybody. They really, really can. And so I think that's huge. Now, if we look at the grades from PFF, let's see here. I'm on the wrong one. There we go. Number one rated player on offense, Dominic Pooney. Gosh, man, number 77, 93.4. That is his grade. That is all pro level. The kid's just awesome. And there were plays that weren't great. He had a couple bad plays. Got stepped on one play, fell down, whiffed on another guy. But he was just so consistently positive. Like, sometimes when it, like, you guys remember when Trent Williams was kind of like that, like the best ever, like last year during parts and years before, where it, like, he was just, dude had like 10 pancakes a game almost. Like, he was that enforcer. That's not really how Dominic Pooney wins. Like, he's not the guy that's going to embarrass people. He just frustrates the hell out of defensive tackles the whole game, in the run and pass game, because they don't get any sliver of hope. He's not the guy that's literally pancaking everybody. He gets some pancakes, but, like, he's just so consistently a plus player, Dominic Pooney. Like, dude's awesome. And even in the middle of the year, what games were those? He had kind of like a rough game. You go to the Green Bay game, that was not good. He had a 50 grade. It was his lowest of the season. But then he follows that up with an 89 grade in the snow versus Buffalo. So you have to put an asterisk there. Snow games and bad weather always helps the offensive lineman a lot. But, man, the Bears have a decent defensive line. Now, we said in our scouting report, their defensive tackles are probably the weakness of their defense. But he exploited it the entire time and got to the second level well. Shout out to Dominic Pooney. Unbelievable. Now we got to talk about George Kittle. Oh, my gosh. Right here, Josh, Kittle needs 8+ targets a week at minimum. He finished with a 91.7 grade, played 52 out of 61 snaps, and then the box score, 6 catches, 151 yards on 6 targets. 6 for 6, man. And even if you look at Kittle just the entire year, where's he at here? 56 catches on 67 targets. That's he's got an 83.6 catch rating. That's nuts for a down the field tight end. 80+% catch rating. And that's even with the drop screen in Buffalo, probably wouldn't change the outcome. But goodness, man, George Kittle is just so freaking good. Casual viewer says, I feel like if Kittle hadn't been targeted a lot in the game, they're triple covering him or something. Dude, they stayed in their cover three. So they were cover three zone, and then they tried to disguise that and run some man. But, dude, he shredded the zone. He shredded man and just was consistently there. It was awesome, man. It was awesome. It was really, really cool. I want to say thank you to the Super Chats. Dude, Ice Cold Narsh, thank you. Says, it's hard to communicate through words on a screen sometimes. Actions speak louder than words, though. We understand you have no ill will to anyone and try to keep criticisms to play on the field. Yes, 100%. 100%. Thank you, man. I appreciate that, and I appreciate your support. You guys, it's weird. Like, this is a job, but, I mean, it's my community. This is episode 1,281. That didn't even count all the Patreon breakdowns and Zoom hangouts and Rush road trips. Y'all my community, man. And so thank you. And it hurts whenever that stuff goes out there. And I hate that I participated in anything that would cause that to another person. I hate that. And I'm going to be better. Edgar, thank you so much for the super sticker. You are incredible. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Here we go. So let's go back to some more of these. The obviously Dominique Pooney, 93.4 PFF grade. Kittle, 91.7 PFF grade. Great. And then you've got Brock Purdy, 90.3. We've had games this year where we didn't have one player above an 80 grade. You come out against the Bears and you have three players in the all-pro level. That's huge. And nobody was taking away. You know what I mean? Like in the past, you'll have one of the linemen or all these penalties or drops or fumbles. You don't turn the ball over. Like, you got close to turning the ball over a couple times, but nobody was a hindrance. People were helping and supporting each other. And I think that's what was so awesome. And so much so, I think this next player, Jake Brendel. Jake Brendel had an 82.6 grade and was the fourth highest rated player on offense. That is his second highest of his entire career. He had a second best game. Wasn't a great game, but it was freaking good. And if you have, I want to say quality play, I think the tape showed that. I felt that in the game, and I feel that like PFF reflected that as well. If you get average to above average quality play at the center, this offense is going to run. He has been a hindrance. And I will say this too on Jake Brendel. I've been very, very critical of him watching other people get hit and just standing there. He didn't do that. That dude was running around and playing with a sense of urgency I've never seen him have. That was cool. Like, I absolutely, like, you know, again, probably more critical of Jake Brendel's play than anybody else. Him and Jair Brown, but Jake Brendel went out there. He looked like a different guy. He really, like, obviously the blocks and whatever else. He's a pro NFL athlete, very athletic, but the mindset looked different. Does that mean, you know, he should be the starter moving forward, all that stuff? That's a different conversation. You definitely got drafted center. He's 32 years old. But man, Brendel plays this way. Every single game is winnable. Every single game is winnable on this schedule. Every single game is winnable.
Are you a person who tends to overspend on or around the holidays? Well, Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, your kids, and your retirement, even during the holidays. And the best part is, you don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you. And you don't need a ton of time. You can start investing your money in just 5 minutes. You also don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now. That could be as small as $5 a day or just some spare change. That's right. Acorns can round up every purchase you make to the dollar and automatically invest your spare change for you. So whenever you go to get your coffee before you go on that shopping trip, guess what? That's investing. I've used Acorns for a long time, way before this sponsorship started. And a big reason why is because you can invest without time and without a lot of money, and you can choose how aggressive you want to be with the amount of money that you invest. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorn.com/49ers.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands,
endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Right here, Orlando. John, did we play that well or did the Bears just suck that much? That was, I think it might have been, let me see here. Let's pull up the Bears' schedule because it might have been their worst loss of the year. This is the same Bears that brought, you know, Detroit Lions down to the last play of the game. This is the same team that went to overtime against the Vikings, that lost to the Packers on a block kick, that lost to the Commanders on a Hail Mary. So the Bears have been a better football team, I think, than the 49ers all year. I'll be honest with you. I think that they have played better football. They put out better tape. They could do anything. So usually you think you're going to get that fire your coach, bump, whatever. Well, it usually happens. It didn't happen. So, yeah, I think the Bears suck, and they're a weird team, but I think that their game plan, I think it was wrong, and they were like, look, we ain't going to the playoffs. Let's build our team, and let's run our system, and let's run our scheme, and Shanahan tore that apart. Like, if you're another team watching that Bears-Niners tape, you cannot run cover three. You cannot dictate cover three off coverage like we do to all the teams we play. Shanahan freaking and Purdy, they ate that alive. So, yeah, you know, and yeah. So I don't think that the Bears are just that bad. I don't think that they're great. But, man, Niners dictated everything. Offensively, defensively, controlled it. Now, there's still some issues. We'll talk about those as we go on through the week. But again, talking about players not getting in the way. Eric Saubert has not been good at all. He only played 17 snaps, but he was the fifth highest rated player. So if you take those 17 snaps where he usually has like 4 to 5 negative plays, those weren't there. They weren't present. Is he an all-star? Should he get more snaps? No. But you're not having the guys slow you down and pull you down. That's the thing. Now, lowest rated starter, Ricky Pearsall, he got 30 snaps out of 61. I'm cool with that. Had a catch. It was wide open on Juwan Jennings' first touchdown. Man, there were just people open everywhere. He ran a perfect route. He was way more open than Juwan Jennings was. And, man, was just right in the back of the end zone. But the first read was Jennings, and it was the right read. But, man, like, if you go back, and again, I'll have this uploaded. It's loading right now. I'll have that posted on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon channel. Like, you watch that touchdown, Ricky Pearsall is as open as you could possibly be. But the first read was Jennings, and it was open, so you took it. I think that's important. But, yeah, Eric Saubert, you know, you got good from him. Ricky Pearsall still learning. The blocking's getting better. It's getting there. Ben Bartsch struggled. He only played 10 plays and he got hurt. He's going to be out a little bit, but now it seems like Aaron Banks is clear to the concussion. Ed had a couple weeks off, so I'm hoping we get back the Aaron Banks that's healthy and rested, I hope, because when Banks is healthy, he's great. Whenever he has to play through things, he's not great. And you talk about Spencer Burford, 51 snaps, gave up one pressure, 62 grade, not bad. And with Burford, you get a little bit more oomph in the run game. Like, you know, whenever you're talking to Aaron Banks, he's just huge. People can't get around him. But in the run game, the athleticism of Spencer Burford, it shows because he gets after those dudes. He goes after them. Let's see here. Right here, Josh says, is it just me or Juice been awful all year? Kyle Juszczyk had a 64 grade, played 31 snaps. His run blocking was great. His pass blocking was great. But from, like, the routes and stuff, he had nothing really special that I saw on there. But, yeah, kind of take that for what it is. But, yeah, so that's the offensive stuff. Debo continues to struggle. But let me say this, because I think this is important. It was very clear and evident the Bears' number one priority on playing the 49ers was take away Deebo Samuel. On one of the huge Kittle plays, like, they just flare out, kind of like a fake bubble screen almost. Deebo, he pulls three defenders his way, and then you hit George Kittle wide open. And the only reason why he's open is because they have, like, where is Deebo at? And so what is a defense going to try to take away? A lot of times, every team that plays the Niners, their defense wants to take away the run game. Well, CMC's out. Elijah Mitchell's out. Jordan Mason's out. Now you got a rookie who hasn't had great tape and Isaac Garrido in. They rolled the dice. Guess what? Didn't work out. And Isaac Garrido had a 74.2 grade. Oh, man, he was great. I was really, 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 really impressed with kind of what he was able to accomplish in the pass game, pass protection. Still got to work on vision. Still got to work on being decisive. But progress, major progress. And we finally got to see the speed on like two or three plays out in the open field. It still takes a while for him to gear up and get to that top speed. But man, he made Kevin Byard completely whiff, looking like Jair Brown out there on that huge run that he got like 30 plus yards on, because it was just all speed. So whatever the speed can get engaged, reminds you a little bit Mostert. You know what I mean? Like, you see it out there and he's way bigger. So that's the offensive tape. Now, here's the cool thing is it wasn't just the offense. I felt like everybody played together. Complimentary football has been absent from the 49ers this year. Here's Kyle talking about it.
We got the ball first and we scored, and then our defense got it right back to us, and it kind of went that way the whole half. So, I mean, I think maybe our second series we did punt. And when the defense stops the team three and out right after that and you get it right back, then you quickly forget about it. When you punt and they go down and tie it up, the whole game gets changed. So it's all complimentary football, and the guys were in sync today.
That's huge, man. Complimentary football, and there we go, man. It's been rare. And we played so well that backups got in this game defensively. Jalen Graham was the highest rated player. He only got 7 snaps, but he got in. Nick McCloud got 7. Gip got 7. Kalia Davis got 14. Jair Brown got 15. And I think that's huge. He still did not play well. But just the fact that he gets to come off the bench now and watch and learn changes everything. Khalil Davis got 14 snaps. Like, you're getting a lot of these backups some work, and I think that's huge. That's huge. And so when we talk about defense, you got to start and end the conversation with Talanoa Hufanga. That dude, again, you know, I think the two probably most hindered players on the 49ers roster this year would be Jake Brendel on offense and Jair Brown. You know, a lot of people want to put that out. Devondre Campbell. Devondre Campbell balled out. 80.3 grade. Played 34 out of 53 snaps. That's where he should be. He's older. We're splitting a lot of those snaps, but he played well. But Hufanga, Jair Brown goes out, Hufanga comes in, everything clicks on all cylinders. You're not having miscommunications. Not saying that's all Jair Brown's fault, but you're talking about a guy who has called this defense when the defense was at its best on the field, the back end, the safety, right? So you call all the coverage adjustments and all that stuff. Now you got Hufanga, who's done it before, A-plus communicator. We don't have any breaks out there. There's no busted coverages out there, and everybody's where they need to be. Now, it's not like Hufanga was like, oh, all pro or whatever else. He finished with a 67.5 grade, but he had an 85.4 tackle grade and led the entire team in tackling rating. And difficult tackles that he made that were huge and stopped drives. Coverage. He gave up 2 catches. Yeah, that's a thing, but no explosives allowed running at him or throwing at him. And you're playing against Caleb Williams, who's like the explosive guy, right? That's why he was the number one. No, number one overall pick. So got to give credit. Talanoa Hufanga just changed everything. I was wearing my Hufanga jersey out there. There were a lot of Hufanga jerseys. Look at Mark. Appreciate you, man. Yeah, Huff, baby. There we go. Yeah, Josh, re-sign Hufanga ASAP. We can't go forward with Brown as a starter. I think Brown still has something left in him. But, yeah, I don't think you move forward. Brown's on a cheap contract. Malik's on a cheap contract. Hufanga, man, I wonder what he'll go for. Let me look at the different positions at safety. I want to see what these contracts look like, because now you're assuming he's healthy. I mean, the top safeties are getting, you know, 16 to 21 million. I don't think he fits in that category. Like, I think that you can get Hufanga back on like a $8 to $12 million deal. Look at the difference. We didn't even have Nick Bosa out there, right? If the defense was humming. I think, you know, my thing was with Dre Greenlaw and Hufanga, can they come back from their injuries and show that they could play where they were? Does one game mean it's all right and everything's perfect and you ain't got to worry? No, he still hasn't been practiced. He's still not, like, he's not up to his normal Hufanga self. But, man, this is a giant check mark on, dude, you see what this defense looked like. The only difference was Hufanga and Diamador Lenore. And I say only, that's two very, very key players. But, man, everything was just night and day different. And yeah, Mark, right here, big night for the secondary, you know, coming in on Thursday. You are 100% correct. Right here, Monkey Boy says, Huff brought the intensity and swarm mentality. D has been missing that this year, 100%. And just seeing him out there, dude's just, here we go. Let's go to Kyle here. This is about Talanoa.
We weren't sure how it was going to go this week with him being back for practice, and we thought he looked real good. And then when he told me he had the confidence he had to play on Friday, I was pumped to start him. So just to get him out there, I thought was just the emotions of it, you know, I thought sparked our team. It looked like he played real well, just from what I saw live. I'll see more on the tape, but just the type of guy Huff is, and getting him back out on the field with us throughout the week and then in that game, I think fired our guys up.
Yeah, and yeah, right here, Law, he says, you know, Huff might miss sacks and all that stuff, but he jumps around like a jackrabbit, very missed. The energy, the command, the communication, it's just like, hey, mistakes, lesser. And you got to remember, when did teams start running the ball on us last year? It's when Hufanga tore his ACL against the Bucks. After that, we could stop the outside run. And, I mean, I understand it's more than Hufanga. I understand that. But here are the so bye week, we give up 110 yards rushing to the Bucks. We give up 94 yards to the Seattle Seahawks. We give up 169 yards rushing to the Packers. We give up 220 yards rushing to the Bills, down to 68 yards. Like, you see, it's not just tough. Diamador Lenore is a big part of that. But, yeah, you could point and say, this is it. This is it. NY Niners. I was wondering earlier if maybe Brown's regression is playing with a rookie instead of a vet. Maybe. But that's how it was. It's funny. We've had this exact same thing happen 3 years in a row with safeties. So it was supposed to be Jimmy Ward and Hufanga at safeties. And then Jimmy Ward got hurt. You signed Tyshawn Gibson off the street. Huff starts calling the defense as first year starter. Then the following year, it's supposed to be Huff and Jair Brown. Huff gets hurt. Then you've got, you know, what's it called? Jair Brown steps in and plays remarkably well. So you're like, oh, nice. We keep going. Then this year was supposed to be Huff and Jair Brown. Huff gets hurt. Now Malik's in. So we had 3 years in a row where Huff had to play earlier than you wanted. Jair had to play earlier than he wanted. Malik had to play earlier than you wanted. They're getting meaningful snaps, but it does matter. Like, players sometimes, when they have to think, they play slow. And whenever you're responsible for all the coverages and adjustments to motions and checks, which we don't check very often, but we do have checks built in, it slows down your play. It really, really does. And so when you have to think, you play slow. Yeah, Huff brings the juice. I freaking love it, man. Steve-O, how many times has Mustafa gotten pancaked this year? I'm going to have to change his name. Yeah, a lot of that's with the way he's a head-up tackler, and he doesn't dive. He brings his feet, which is the way you're supposed to do it. And he's even spoken about that. He's like, dude, I don't care if I get run over. I'm not playing for pride. I'm out there doing my best. And so, like, from the safety standpoint, Malik is what you want. You really do want that. The way he attacks head up, always wraps up, brings his feet. But yeah, sometimes you will get pancaked. You're going to get plotted over, but you still make the tackle every time. It does suck whenever those happen in the red zone or in the end zone. That I don't like. There we go. So, Kurt, yeah, Huff really does have a good mentor. Talk about Troy Polamalu. Yeah, that's great mentor. For real. I want to talk some more defensive stuff, but before we do, you guys know the way to support the show. And again, today, all proceeds go to Change with Charvarius, his charity. And if you want to support that, that's in the description. But a real quick word from our sponsor.
You know football. You watch all the games. You know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to MyBookie.ag, use promo code 49ERS, 49ers, or scan this QR code next to me, and they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100, all the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for 6 straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out, trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino, if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit, and MyBookie, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
All right. So a couple other things that I want to talk about just defensively. Again, Vondre Campbell, maybe his best game, had an 80.3, 8-plus tackles, 3 solo run stops. He gave up 3 catches on 3 targets, but for a total of 13 yards. I mean, he was right on top of everything. And again, these players that have struggled and cost us, when they play up to the rest of the team, you see what happens. D Winners, you know, they're changing in and out. So Devondre Campbell got 34 snaps. D Winners got 27. I love that. I don't think, you know, the 49ers have been all the way back since Saleh. Like, secondary doesn't rotate. Linebackers don't rotate. And I don't like that. I think that you can, and especially in this situation, D Winners is awesome. The explosiveness, he had the highest coverage grade of anybody on the team, a 90.2 coverage grade. And that's what you get with D Winners. He's just so quick. And his coverage drops. I remember him as a rookie being at training camp and just being like, man, this dude struggles in coverage. But at TCU, he was pretty damn good. And man, it took him a little while to get the system down, but his zone drops, he's looking more and more like Dre Greenlaw in coverage as time goes on. Like, you just see the similarities. Really, really good player. Renardo Green was 4th. Love seeing that from him. The Rook played 45 out of 53 snaps, had a 74 grade. Huff, 5th. Diamador Lenore being back changes everything. Just absolutely incredible. Diamador Lenore, he's good. He's really, really good. I'm glad that we have him locked up. Moving forward, that's huge. Malik Mustafa, Robert Beal Jr., 20 snaps. Again, you don't notice him, but he's not causing mistakes. He's a fundamental kind of run guy, which is weird because we draft him as a pass rush specialist. He got 12 run snaps and 8 pass rush snaps. Had a 65 grade, yeah, 2 tackles, 2 solo stops, like no pressures. But, dude, you're getting quality snaps. You're getting quality snaps from this guy. And they're not, I don't know about quality snaps. He's not costing you. Right here. Josh, my guy Bill, stacking plays now. Yeah, I mean, it's positive. It really, really is. And so I do think that the defensive end spot and defensive tackle spots are two of the least amount of depth and least amount of talent on this team. That happens whenever you don't draft one defensive lineman in the draft when you have 9 picks. But man, there's guys on this roster that are NFL players, but it's just like, man, you don't build around Robert Beal, but like, he's going to be on this team and he's going to be in the rotation moving forward. So solid depth piece. I really, really do like it. And I like what he's bringing to the 20 snaps. I don't think he should be getting that many, but I'm glad he's getting more than 10. NY Niners. Bill will be okay. He's already one of the better special. He is a stud special. If you watch the special teams breakdowns with us, 5-1 comes off the tape every single time. Kickoff, kickoff return, punt, punt return. Robert Beal, stud special teamer, and his speed shows there. So, you know, will Drake Jackson ever be back? With Drake Jackson, you just count it as, man, we're not counting on anything moving forward from him. Anything you get is bonus. It's not that you're writing him off, but you can't plan for him to even be in the rotation. He's got to come back and earn it, ground up, prove he's healthy, and I hope he does. He's such a great young man. It just had really terrible injury luck and just play strength and whatever else. But, yeah, like, if he's – like, I would be shocked if they shut him down again next year. He's going to have to come back and prove everything. He really, really is. So, I don't know about Drake Jackson. I really, really don't. Right here, Mike, is Bill someone we would consider to be developed by the Niners? In the run game, yes. In the run game, yes. Pass rush, we have not – he has – the tape doesn't seem to show that he has grown at all. He still attacks full man. And so what I mean by that, like whenever you're rushing, you always want to say like attack half or a quarter of the man because offensive tackles, 300 plus pounds, Bill, 250, 260 pounds, you're giving up the weight and they know the play. So you have to use your leverage. And so whenever you throw your hands and your striking chart or whatever else, like whenever I used to coach D line, like we would literally put on our dummies, we put stickers. And on our, our practice squad guys or our scout team, we would put stickers on the tackles. Left tackle would get two here. Right tackle would get two here. And that's where you throw your hands at. You know, you work a quarter or a half a man. He runs head up every single time and just tries to power. And it's like, dude, you're a speed guy. Be a speed guy. So that's a little bit of an issue. We'll see if that's going to, like, get better. But yeah, we'll see here. Now, you know, somebody brought up the grit and the passion and like, again, just having some of that like oomph, I think that's huge. And Kyle talked a little bit, again, kind of complimentary football, but this idea of playing with grit and being a tough football team, because I think that's who the Niners want to be.
Man. Grit's such a roundabout saying, but like, I mean, we got gritty dudes all over our team. We got as tough as guys as there is. I just wanted our team. We haven't been able to battle and finish a game when things have gone bad there. And that's what I wanted to make sure, just the whole team, that we're going to play with grit and show that. Not necessarily as individuals. I know we got gritty dudes all over, but when you have your backs against the wall like we have had, that's when it's your opportunities to show that your team can still play with some grit. Your team can have some resilience. And when we've been in those situations this year where we needed to, we haven't. I think we've done it a lot in the past, so we know how it looks and we know what it feels like. But the opportunities that we've had this year, we haven't got that done. And I just wanted to remind them that this year's not over. And today was an opportunity to show that. And that's not something you can do as an individual. We got gritty dudes. But as a team, that's collectively. And everyone's got to be kind of, I mean, let's say like psychology is contagious. And it's you try to think like one and play like one. And I felt that today from our team.
Yeah, and I'm seeing this in the chat. I didn't feel it. Kurt, thank you, says, second earthquake alert in 2 days in the Bay Area. Y'all be safe. Hope everybody's okay. I didn't feel anything here, but yikes. Stay safe, guys. Rounding out just a couple of the defensive players that I thought, so Isaac Yiadom just continues to be a solid number three corner. And again, I think personally, he should be the number three corner. I think that the rotation should go D'Amador Lenore, Renardo Green, Isaac Yiadom, and then Charvarius Ward coming in. And I don't want him out of the lineup, but I think that he needs to be rotated kind of like the Campbell D. Winter situation. Definitely not a good game from Charvarius Ward. Gave up a touchdown again, three receptions on three targets. Hasn't played great, but, you know, we love him. And by far one of my favorite people. I hate what happened yesterday. I really do. Really, really sorry. I'm going to keep saying that. Jair Brown played 15 snaps. Still not good. Sam Okwuonu had one of his lowest scores of the season. Played 39 snaps. That's they want him there. And so you look at Leonard Floyd got 28 snaps. They are still pulling back Leonard Floyd. He got two sacks, and that was awesome. On four, he had two pressures for two sacks. Like, dude only had a couple good plays, but he made them count. And so that's awesome. I think that is the role that the 49ers want for him. Kind of like that D Ford role. Now, he's not that ultimate speed guy, but I think Leonard Floyd needs to be a situational pass rusher. I think that's his role in today's NFL. He played 28 snaps, 19 were against the run. And your zone dropped him in coverage twice. So, like, I love that. I think that's perfect. And, you've started to see, I want to see this. So, you look at Leonard Floyd, he was getting a lot of snaps, man. And so, like, if you go back to, all right, week 6 against Seattle, 51 snaps, 56th grade. Next week, Kansas City, 42 snaps, 51 grade. Next week, Dallas, 46 snaps, 53 grade. Then Tampa Bay, 41 snaps, 46th grade. I mean, the play was just plummeting. That's four terrible games in a row. Then they start to cut his snaps, and you're talking 3 consecutive weeks. Well, the Green Bay got 43 snaps. But, like, his best games this year, his most productive games, have all been with fewer snaps. All of them have been. So, like, you've got to find that recipe, and he's old. So, man, you get guys like Sam Okwuanu in there, and shoot, man. What's he go out there? He gets 3 tackles, batted a pass, got a quarterback hit, but still had a low grade. I haven't done the defensive tape completely yet, so I don't know. Yeah, we'll see there. Right here, casual. Malik Collins is so good whenever I see him throw offensive linemen off. He has like 4 or 5 of those plays. He finished with a 63 grade, played 30 snaps. Evan Anderson only got 14 snaps. That's a bummer. I don't like that because I feel like, somebody had a comment in here and I thought I started. I must have not clicked it. Anyway, man, somebody, here we go. Filthy casual, my man. It says, love how Mr. Anderson is playing to the whistle, picked up the fumble. He's a good motor guy. I think he should be starting. I've been screaming that from the mountaintops. You know, he goes out there and gets 14 snaps. Jordan Elliott back at the starting lineup. Jordan Elliott played 26 snaps, which I don't have a problem with that. I think that's about right. No registered stats whatsoever for Jordan Elliott. None. And 26 snaps. Evan Anderson, 3 solo stops. I'm telling you, he's a better player. He just is. I know he paid Jordan Elliott, and I'm not saying Jordan Elliott shouldn't play. I'm saying he's not near as good as Evan Anderson. I don't – the film, the stats, the eye test, like, I'm sorry, man. He's – yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Evan Anderson's for real. I'm excited for him in the future. Jason, he says, can we really be mad at Floyd when he is right on his average sacks-wise, which is what we wanted him for? No. You are asking him to do too much. And so everything was getting watered down. It took a long time to figure it out. But yeah, no, and you're limiting his snaps with Bosa out. Get Bosa back in, allow Sam Okwuanu, allow Ytir Gross Matos. And then, man, Leonard Floyd should be out there on every single passing down that you possibly can get him out there. I'm not mad at it. What's his sack total at currently? Let me pull that up. I got that right here. That's offense, goofball. Here we go. So sack wise, yeah, I mean, shoot, he's got 8.5 sacks. That's great. Let that dude just be a situational pass rusher. That's the most sacks we've had opposite of Bosa. Go back to Eric Armstead, maybe. I think Eric Armstead back in 2019. Maybe Buckner. It would have been Eric Armstead. He had that 1 year where it was like 10 plus. That's where it was. So let's see here. I seen some Debo comments. I want us to fake it to Debo. I really do. Put Debo in the backfield. I like it back there. Run a play action with him. Teams are teeing off on Debo. And that's not an issue. I talked about this earlier in the show because you can take advantage of that if they're going to overflow towards Debo's side. And that's what they've been doing. We'll see. We'll kind of see what that is. Yeah, man. Okay, I'm going to go back to that 2019. Now I'm stuck because I'm mad. I was like, man, somebody had a lot of sacks in 2019 with the 49ers that wasn't Bosa because Bosa didn't even lead the team in sacks that year. Here we go. I got it pulled up. Yeah, Eric Armstead had 10 sacks. It was Armstead 10, Bosa 9, Buckner 7.5, DeFord 6.5, Fred Warner 3, Ronald Blair 3. Oh, y'all, I love Ronald Blair. DJ Jones 2, Solomon Thomas 2, Jimmy Ward 1, Greenlaw 1, Kwan Williams 1, Sheldon Day 1, Tart had half a sack, and Quan Alexander had half a sack. Like, I mean, you're getting a lot of sacks there, but Armstead has had the most next to Bosa. It looks like Leonard Floyd, you know, he has these two sack games. That's what it is. So I'm cool with that, man. I am totally cool with that. So I'm very, very happy with what we're getting now, because you figured out, like, dude, he just can't play the run consistently well. He can't hold up. So, all right, let's fix that. Let's pull it out. Pull him out of the freaking run game, and let's just let him go get the quarterback. And it's working. It's not like he's getting a lot of pressures. He had two pressures. Etair Gross-Matos had four, if we're just looking at the pressure guide. Gross-Matos had four pressures on 27 snaps. Malik Collins had three on 30 snaps. Leonard Floyd, two on 28. Sam Okwuonu had one, and Khalil Davis had one. We didn't have a lot of pressures. But, man, we had a lot of sacks, and we had a lot of quarterback hits. Well, sacks. We actually didn't touch the quarterback outside of the sacks we got. So, interesting. Huh. That's fun. But, you know, we were talking special teams. And, again, let's stick with the grades, because I think this is key. Jalen Graham, number one special teams player, 74.2 grade. D. Winters, number two. Eric Saubert, number three. Patrick Taylor, number four. Robert Beale Jr., number five. That's just what it is. I mean, Tabor Pepper and bottom five again. Braden Willis, Jake Tonjes, bottom five again. It's the same guys. It's the same guys. But they got the win, and that's what it's about. I freaking love it. Right here, Captain Insato shows no mercy. He says, hey, can we go over some rooting guides to make the playoffs? It's complex, man. I truly do believe if the Niners get to... You're 6-7. You can get to 10 wins. There are four games left. You get to 10 wins, you're 10-7. You're in. 10-7 is going to get you into the playoffs in the NFC this year. There's seven seeds. So the easiest route is just win them all. Now, if you expect the 49ers to drop one of these next four games, now you're in. There's two paths. One is the NFC West. That's the cleanest. You've got to have Seattle drop a game, and then we got to beat them. Okay. So Seattle's got to lose one of their three non-49ers games, and we have to win that game. That's key. Then you've got Arizona and the Rams, which we're playing both of those. Oh, we're not playing Seattle again. My bad. So yeah, you have to have Seattle drop two, and then the Rams and Cardinals need to kind of like both lose one, and we got to beat them both. That's the easiest way. Even then, if we have the same record, let's say we finish with a 9-8, and everybody in the, you know, you want that three-way tie, because if we're tied with Seattle, we're 1-1 with them, but then it goes to conference. Okay, what's their conference record, right? It's division record, the head-to-head record, all that stuff. So Seattle's 3-2. They've got to drop. They've got to drop at least one conference game for us to even have a chance. If Seattle beats Arizona, We can't catch them. They'll be 4-2 in the division. We split the head-to-head. Even if we have a tie record, we lose that. So Seattle's got to lose. Man, that's going to be hard. They're 3-2. They only got one more. They've got to lose that to get to 3-3. They've got to lose that. Then you start talking wild card for that seventh seed. Washington Commanders are 8-5. And they've got a 5-3 conference record. We have a 4-5. You need some help there. So they got to lose, and they got to lose conference games. We can't lose a conference game. If we lose a conference game, man, you're going to have to get super, super lucky. You've got to win all the conference games. If you go 3-1 and you lose to Miami, I think you get in. You go 4-0, you're in. You go 4-0, you're in. 3-1, lost to Miami, you're in. You lose a conference game, I don't think the 49ers make it. And I know a lot of people are like, man, we ain't going to the playoffs. But, man, you saw this team play. And I scream this all the time. You get into the tournament, and you don't know what could happen. And nobody thought that the Giants were going to win as a 7 seed or 6 seed twice. The 6 seeds back then. Like, football's weird. You get in there. I'm just saying. And gosh, man, the 49ers are fighting for it. And I loved it. I wish they didn't wait so long to turn it on. But gosh, you go out there and you freaking, you get it. Like, you get the win, finally. Gosh, man, let's just keep it going. Let's just keep it going. So anyway, you guys are awesome. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the show. Go check out the 49ersrush.com. That's where our film breakdowns are going to be. I'll have one of them posted for the offensive breakdown. Probably the best offensive half I've watched all year. That first half against the Bears. It was awesome. It was awesome. Oh, look at Jason. He says, football is weird. Lobos drop at 50. We got some Texas football talk. DeSoto lost. That's what's up. Duncanville still cruising, baby. Let's go, Panthers. Let's go. Three-peat. Three-peat. All right. That's going to do it for us here. Love you guys. Really appreciate the community. Thank you guys just for being who you are. I needed it today, and I'm very, very thankful for you guys. You are amazing. Till next time, stay strong, faithful.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.